हे वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट नंबर्स 29, 30, and 31.
दध्योदनं समानीतं शिलायां सलिलांतिके
संबोजनीयैर्बुभुजे
गोपै
संकर्षणान्वितः
दयोधनं समानीतम्
शीलायां सलिलांतिके
संभोजनीयैर्बुभुजे
गोपै संकर्षणान्वितः दध्योदनं समानीतम्
शीलायां सलिलांतिके
संबोधनीयैर्बुभुजे
गोपै
संकर्षणान्वितः
गोपै संकर्षणान्वितः
दध्योदनं समानीतम्
शीलायां सलिलांतिके
गोपै संकर्षणान्वितः
दध्योदनं समानीतम्
शीलायां सलिलांतिके
संभोजनैर्बुभुजे
माताजीस
तद्योदनं समानीतम्
शीलायां सलिलांतिके
संबोजनीयैर्बुभुजे
गोपै संकर्षणान्वितः
दध्योदनम् बॉइल्ड राइस मिक्स्ड विद योगर्ट
समानीतम्
सेंट
शिलायाम्
ऑन ए स्टोन
सलिलांतिके
नियर द वॉटर संभोजनैः
Who would take meals with him?
Bubuje.
He ate.
Gopaihi.
Together with the cowherd boys.
Sankarshanamvitaha.
In the company of Lord Balram.
Translation by the disciples of Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Lord Krishna would take his meal of boiled rice and yogurt sent from home in the company of Lord Sankarshan and the cowherd boys who regularly ate with him. They would all sit down to eat on a large stone near the water.
There is no purport, so we'll go to text 30 and 31.
शाद्वलोपरि संविश्य चर्वतो मिलिते क्षणान् तृप्तान् वृषान् वत्सतरान् गाश्च सोधोभरश्रमः प्रावृटीशयम् च ताम् वीक्ष्य सर्वकालसुखावहम् भगवान् पूजयाम् चक्रे आत्मशक्ति उपब्रूहितम्।
ट्रांसलेशन्: लॉर्ड कृष्णा वॉच्ड द कंटेंटेड बुल्स काउस एंड काउस सिटिंग ऑन द ग्रीन ग्रास एंड ग्रेजिंग विद क्लोज्ड आईज एंड ही सॉ दैट द काउस वर टायर्ड from the burden of their heavy milk bags. Thus observing the beauty and opulence of Vrindavana's rainy season, a perennial source of great happiness, the Lord offered all respect to that season, which was expanded from his own internal potency. Purport: the lush beauty of the rainy season in Vrindavan is meant to enhance the pleasure pastimes of Sri Krishna. Thus, to set the scene for the Lord's loving affairs, his internal potency makes all the arrangements described in this chapter.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale स्वयं रूप कदामयम् ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहम् श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् सागरजातम् सगणा रघुनाथान्वितम् तं सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजनासहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादान सगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितंश हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्दा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा। एट द वेरी आउटसेट आई वुड लाइक टू सीक ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द वैष्णवा सिटिंग हियर सो दैट आई कैन स्पीक अ फ्यू वर्ड्स ऑन दीज थ्री वर्सेस। This chapter entitled The Rainy Season and Autumn in Vrindavan is actually a transition on the part of Srila Sukadeva Goswami from his very wonderful descriptions of killing of asuras or, you know, vanquishing the fire which was disturbing the cowherd boys and the community of Vrindavan. And here Srila Sukadeva Goswami, for the pleasure of Parikshit Maharaj, is entering into very beautiful description of the rainy season. Vrindavan as such is a very beautiful place, and when it starts raining there in Vrindavan, according to Srila Sukadeva Goswami, it becomes a very wonderful place. Rains have a soothing, embalming effect on people. When you feel scorched by heat, when rain falls, somehow or the other everybody feels, you know, soothed and comfortable. So herein Srila Sukadeva Goswami, through very beautiful verses, is giving description of the impact of rainy season
on the beauty of Vrindavan as such and also the impact on the residents of Vrindavan. So I would like to cite a few beautiful verses which have already been covered, but just for illustrating how Srila Sukadeva Goswami has indulged in poetic descriptions which are so very spiritually also highly elevating. Nararaja Udupachanna Swajotna Rajitai Ghanai Ahammatya Bhasitaya Subhasa Purushoyatha. So during the rainy season, the moon was prevented from appearing directly by the covering of clouds, which were themselves illuminated or illumined by moon's rays. Similarly, the living being in material existence is prevented from appearing directly by covering of the false ego, which is itself illumined by the consciousness of pure soul. A beautiful teaching which Srila Sukadeva Goswami is giving us just by comparing the clouds. When you look at the clouds, especially when the moon is shining, the clouds are also resplendent, but they are on borrowed plumes. They are getting also light from the moon. Similarly, a comparison is made with the soul. So then in another beautiful verse he says, Megha agama utsava rishta pratyanandana shikandita gruheshu tapta nirvinna yatha achyuta janagami. After the dry summer, the peacocks became jubilant and cried out joyfully greeting when they said, and when they saw the clouds arrive, just as the people distressed in a household life feel pleasure when pure devotees of the infallible Supreme Lord visit them. Again, a very beautiful statement that has been made by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. So when the weather has become absolutely dry due to summer heat, when the peacocks just see some clouds in the sky, they become very, very jubilant. They become excited because now they are anticipating any moment now it will start raining and, you know, everything will be so beautiful. Everything will be vivified by the rains. So similarly, Sukadeva Goswami says that people who are distressed in household life, they feel pleasure when pure devotees of the infallible Supreme Lord visit them. We ourselves have had some experience of this, so I'd like to share with you that during the last 2-3 years we have been having a little rough time with the cancer. I know my wife is suffering from that and should pass through bad moments, but whenever a devotee would make a call, or sometimes we receive call also from Bhakti Rasamrut Maharaj at times, and whatever misery she was feeling, she would immediately get over it. It's like that. So when one is distressed, a pure devotee's communication also helps. So this is something which we learned from our own experience. Then what happens when it starts raining?
Pitvapaha padapaha padibhara sannana murtayaha prakshamasa tapasashranta yatha kamanu sevaya.
The trees which had become dry and thin, but after they drank the newly fallen rainwater through their feet. Look at the beautiful expression. Sukadeva Goswami doesn't say that the root, rain fell on the roots. Doesn't say that. He says that fallen rainwater through their feet. Pitva apaha padapaha. So very beautifully he is describing what happened. The trees which had become very dry, lackluster, they suddenly, become green, they start developing, flowers, and after some time they become laden with fruit. So this is the dramatic impact which rain has on, the dried up trees. And this is something very beautiful, and the analogy comparison is made that, when people perform, severe austerities, then the person who performs austerities, when he attains the object of his austerity, he also becomes, enlivened. We have examples. They were cited in the classes here. how you know Hiranyakashipu, who had become you know completely thin, why you know when he received Brahmaji's you know couple of drops on his head, he became you know his body became you know steel like. So whenever people attain the objective or object of their austerity, they also become you know very very strong. So this way, very beautifully, it has been described, very poetically it has been described how the rainy season has its impact on Vrindavan and its inhabitants. Then in another beautiful verse it says, Dhenavo manda gaminya udho bharena bhuyasa yaihu bhagavata huta drutam pritya snutasanaha. Again, the cows were moving now slowly. Why? Because they were able to graze on green grasses. The rainy season produces green grass, and by eating this green grass, they had become so much nourished that their milk bags were becoming very heavy. They are finding it difficult to, you know, walk fast. Dhinavo mandagaminya. They are moving slowly. Otherwise, the cows, when Krishna calls them, they just run. But here it is described that yayu bhagavata ahuta. Even though their milk bags were very very heavy, as soon as the Lord called out to them, they ran. And out of affection for the Lord, their udders became wet with milk. So very poetic and beautiful description. Then it is described yesterday, I think Vishwarup Prabhu was describing how the Lord saw the joyful aborigine girls of the forest, the trees dripping sweet sap and the mountain waterfalls whose resounding indicated that there were caves nearby. And the Lord with his brother Balram, with all his cowherd boyfriends, now the scene had been set for his enjoyment. The forests were now completely equipped to cater to the needs of the Lord, and everything became so pleasurable for Krishna. And what would the Lord do? He would also, of course, eat nuts and eat fruits. Where would he eat them? When it rained, the Lord would sometimes enter a cave or the hollow of a tree to play and to eat roots and fruits. Vishwarup Prabhu yesterday described this in great detail, so I won't go into it. So basically we see therefore that everything beautiful is made ready for the Lord. The Lord doesn't have to say, make this arrangement, that arrangement for me. I enjoy this, I do not enjoy that. But no, everything is taken care of by His internal energy. Everything is ready-made to give supreme happiness to their worshipable Lord Krishna. This is how Vrindavan pastimes take place. And today's verses, we are hearing about how what did the Lord you know have for lunch? What did he have for lunch? And where did he eat it? Which was the place where he with his friends you know ate his prasad, whatever. So it is mentioned here, dadhyodhanam samanitam. Dadhyodhanam means boiled rice which is mixed with curds. Now this is still a favorite with many people, especially you know my granddaughters. Even if a great feast has been prepared, they always ask for curd rice. So curd rice becomes very very attractive to them. So here it appears as if Krishna also you know liked curd rice, and Yashoda Maya, out of great love, has sent this curd rice for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, and he is eating boiled rice and yogurt in the company of Lord Sankarshan and the cowherd boys who regularly ate with him. So it was a picnic. So normally when you go to a very nice place, you see all the scenery, you see the greenery, you see everything, and you know your eyes are completely satisfied. But after some time, you know, your stomach starts, you know, calling, and you know, you have to eat something. So picnic without some, you know, eating is not a picnic in the real sense. But here, of course, every day it was a picnic for the cowherd boys in association of Krishna. And they would go and sit where? Salilantike. They would sit on a shilayam salilantike. They would sit, they would go and sit on a big stone slab just near the water body. You know, it was their dining table. And, you know, all of them would enjoy this wonderful, you know, feast sent by Yashoda Maya for pleasure of Krishna, which everybody else also, Balram and everybody else also would enjoy. Now, what is the significance of boiled rice? Why boiled rice? Why not polished rice or any other rice? Now, we understand that the, even as a chemist, I understand that, you know, when the rice is polished, all its nutritive value is lost. And right from, it appears from the Krishna's time, you know, boiled rice, which was not polished rice, that was being eaten. Now, boiled rice with curds is a sattvic food, very, very sattvic food. And Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that sattvic, you know, those who are in the mode of sattva, they like sattvic foods. Ayuhu sattva bala arogya sukha priti vivardhana rasyaha snigdaha stiraha rudyaha ahara sattvika priya. So, those who are in this mode of sattvic, of course we are not talking about Krishna. Those who are in the mode of sattva guna, he is beyond all the modes. So, those who are in the mode of sattva like sattvic ahar. They do not like fast foods, though many of us like them. So, they do not like fast food. They like sattvic ahara. So, what are those? Why do they like them in the first place? Because they increase the duration of life. They purify one's existence. So, the anna that we have, that is being distributed also, food for life in our movement. What is the purpose of that? It is to provide, you know, to provide sustenance and strength to the one who eats it. So they give strength, health, happiness and satisfaction. And what is the nature of such foods? Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome and pleasing to the heart. Actually, Shri Krishna gives a complete dietitian's, you know, prescription for people of Kali Yuga, what they should have and what they should not have. Somehow or the other, we bypass all these instructions, which are being practiced from time immemorial, and they are all wonderful recipes for keeping good health. This is there in the Bhagavad Gita in the 17th chapter. So I remember, I don't know whether it happens now, but when we were children and whenever we would be in a village, we would see that the farmers, you know, before they go out to the field to till the land, you know, very, very hard work, very, 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 very labor incentive, very, very labor oriented type of work, very hard work. They would eat, you know, this broth made of rice, you know, uncooked, a broth. We used to call it in our language, used to call it pez. I think in Marathi also it's called a pez. Why? Because that broth, when you eat it, it gives you lot of strength, lot of sustenance. So therefore, even to this day, I believe this practice goes on, and this is very, very good. So, then we come to text 30, in which they talk about what the Lord was doing when he was having his curd rice. What was he seeing? Shadvalo upari samvishya charvato milita akshanan truptan vrushan vasataran gascha sodho bhar shramaha. So this is a very beautiful description. Lord Krishna with all friends is having his lunch, prasad. And on the opposite side, on the green grass, that patch, he is seeing the cows, he is seeing the bullocks and the cows. All of them are sitting on the green grass nicely. They are also having their lunch and they are grazing on the green grass. Of course, as has been described, the cows, you know, their milk bags have become very, very heavy, you know, due to stored up milk. And they are sitting, all of them are sitting, and Krishna is watching them. And what does he see? Truptan. He sees that these, his dear cows and bullocks and the cows, they are truptan, contented. And what have they done? They have actually milita akshanan. What does that mean? They have closed their eyes. You know, they are eating and their eyes are completely closed. Now, question may arise, why are they closing their eyes? Don't they want to see Krishna? They want to see Krishna, very much so. They are closing their eyes because they are contented. They are contented. Truptan. They are completely, you know, full of... They have no other expectations at all. They are completely contented. Now this is a state of consciousness which all, you know, beings like us should have. So the cows and the bullocks and the cows are completely contented and they are closing their eyes. I think, have you ever seen a baby, you know, drinking, you know, breast milk of his mother? The baby is drinking, you know, milk, tugging at the breast of the mother, and automatically the eyes of the baby are closed, you know, completely closed. Contented, feeling secure in the love of the mother, the child draws upon the milk, and the mother also feels so joyous when the baby, you know, sucks milk. So this is a kind of security which the child feels. Similarly, we find here that all the bullocks and all the cows, each and every bullock, each and every calf, each and every cow is trupta, completely contented and very, very happy, in a very joyous state of consciousness. So this is something which we can understand, that even devotees, when they are able to get love of other devotees, get love from their spiritual master, get love from the Lord, they also feel completely contented. They do not look forward to having anything else. They don't want anything else. All the attractions of the material world no longer enchant them. They're completely enchanted by just being able to get love. So this is a thing that we learn from this statement of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. So contentment is something which is very, very rare in this world. Very difficult to get contentment. What is the opposite of contentment? It is some kind of a hankering, some kind of a trishna. You are not happy with anything that you get. So that is trishna. So in Niti Shastra there is a verse which I would like to quote for you. Ichchati shati sahasram sahasri lakshamihate kartum lakshadipati rajyam rajyopi sakala chakravartitvam chakradharopi suratvam suratvalabe sakala surapatitvam bhavitum surapati rurdvagatitam tathapi na nivartate trishna. Very, very instructive verse which is very, very relevant and which will be relevant in times to come also. He says, Ichchati shati sahasram. Now this statement was valid some years ago, because 100 rupee note today has no value per se, nor for that matter even a 500 rupee note. So, but we can analyze it in the right perspective. Ichchati shati sahasram. One who has a 100 rupee note, he wants a 1000 rupee note. He wants 1000 rupees. And one who has 1000, what does he hanker for? Lakshami ihate. He lacks a lakh of rupees. Of course, in today's world, it must be abjam or whatever. I don't see any newspaper carrying the words of hundreds and 500s or 1000. It is always crores, crores. All the scams are in crores. I don't know from where they get crores. After working for 32 years, you know, I have not reached that state of, where, you talk in terms of crores. A few lakhs here and there, yes, seems realistic. But anyway, here they are talking about Lakshmi Ihate. Kartum Lakshadipatim Rajyam. One who has lack of rupees, is he happy? No. He wants to become a king. He wants to become a king. Then one who is a king, is he happy? He wants to become a Chakravarti Samrat. The king wants to become a Chakravarti Samrat. Then, what about Chakradhari, one who is Chakravarti Samrat? Is he happy? He wants to have Suratvam. No, he wants to become a demigod. Then, Suratva Labhe, is he happy after becoming a demigod? No. He wants to become Sakala Surapatitvam. He wants to become an Indra. And is Indra happy? You have to read Bhagavatam. He is also not happy. Bhavitum Surapati Urdhvagatitam. He also wants to, he is also dissatisfied. He is always unsettled. So, Na Nivartate Trishna. Trishna is never ending. So, therefore, contentment is the key. That's what we require in our spiritual endeavors, isn't it? So, if we are contented, we are happy. I do not know why, on my own career, my first job, fetched me 90 rupees. I was a part-time demon, part-time demonstrator. So, as a part-time demonstrator, I would get 90 rupees per month, and it was big money for me. Very big money. My father had retired, there were no financial resources. 90 rupees, my, what? I could manage all my fees, I could manage my, existence very nicely as a student, there was no problem. So, and I was contented, I was happy with that. So, this is something which is very, very important, and it is lacking totally in our modern day society. And we always want to get something higher and higher. If that were not the case, why would there be so many scams? This scam, that scam. No field of activity in this material world is free from this trishna. The biggest of the big, the richest of the rich want to become richer. I don't know why. Why? What do you do with that money, that kind of money? I always wonder, even to this time, I wonder, what do they do with these crores? It's lying in bank or something, and one fine day they just quit the world and we don't know what is happening to that money. So this is the state of affairs. So very, very sorry state of affairs. So Krishna in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam gives very beautiful instructions to Uddhava. So these are very nice instructions. Very many of them. I won't go into all of them, but just one or two. So in that, the Lord talks about opulence. Here we are talking about opulence of Vrindavan. Vrindavan, with its rainy season and all the seasons, is very, very opulent. That's what the sentence is made here, isn't it? So, yeah, the observing the beauty and opulence of Vrindavan. So, Krishna himself talks about what is opulence to Uddhava. He says very beautifully, he says that, Bhagaha me Aishwaraha Bhavaha. He says that actual opulence is my own nature as the personality of Godhead, through which I exhibit my 6 unlimited opulences. Unlimited opulences, we all know, beauty, wealth, fame, knowledge, strength and renunciation. But what is real opulence? That is, the actual opulence is his own nature, the Lord's own nature. Then he makes one more point. What is the supreme gain in life? People are talking about, crores, lakhs. They are talking about that. So he says, what is supreme gain? He says, labaha mad bhaktihi uttamaha. He says that the supreme gain in life is devotional service to me. That is, this Krishna is saying, he's telling Uddhava. He's not, you know, canvassing. He's just telling us, because if he doesn't tell us, who else will tell us? So he's telling us that. Then what is education? I never knew this definition until I saw this. I was in educational field. Vidya atmani vidha badha, nullifying the false perception of duality in the soul. Whatever dualities we are having, nullifying all that, that is education, he says. So anyway, this way it goes on. There are so many of them, I don't want to go into all the details. But I will come to the point which we are talking about. What is contentment? Krishna defines what is contentment, what is santosh. He says, daridraha yahatu asantushtaha krupanaha yaha ajitendriyaha. Guneshu asakta dihi ishaha gunasango vipadyaya. So he says that, my dear friend Uddhav, one who is enriched with good qualities is actually said to be rich. That is real opulence. And one who is unsatisfied in life is actually poor. Asantushtaha. One who is happy with his daily wages, the poor farmer, he may be really having, if he is contented, if he is santushta, he is a multi billionaire. And a multi billionaire who is still hankering, you know, for more possessions, more wealth, more this, more that, he is asantushta, he is unhappy. So he is actually daridra from point of view of the Lord. So we get to an understanding of what is contentment. And this is very, very important. And who is a wretched person? A wretched person is one who cannot control his senses. Whereas one who is not attached to sense gratification is a real controller. So Krishna is giving perspectives to us. All of us know this, but the Lord is giving us new perspectives through these verses. So therefore, in these verses, we understand the importance of being contented. We can never ever be happy if we do not develop this tendency to derive contentment from what we get. In whatever situation the Lord has placed us, whatever the Lord has given us, we are happy in that. That is our Vedic culture, by the way. However, in the olden days, the wives and big families, only one, you know, wage earner. But all of them lived under one roof happily. They were contented with their lot. I don't know where that has gone now. It's completely disappeared. We are in a miserable state now. Our society has crumbled so much that those seem to be just like, you know, after some years, you know, if somebody were to hear about it, he'll say, this is all hypothetical, you know, this really didn't happen. Did this happen? 20 people living under one roof, one wage earner, you know, feeding everyone and inviting, you know, guests also. Did this really happen? Yes, it happened. Times have changed. You know, time has taken actually toll of so many things. This is one of them. Anyway, so this is how it is. So we come to just 5 minutes, last aspect of the verse point. So a very beautiful statement has been made. Bhagwan pujayam chakre atma shakti upa bruhitam. I would like to speak briefly on this. So the beauty and opulence of Vrindavan, everything, it emanates from whom? Krishna. Everything emanates from him. He is aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. So all the material and spiritual world, they all emanate from the Supreme Lord himself. Sarva karana karanam. Though Krishna is experiencing the beauty of his own creation, basically. That's what it means. And what is he doing here? He says that the Lord offered all respect to that season. Krishna is offering respect to that season. Bhagavan pujayam chakre. Puja means, you know, offering worship, or, you know, offering total respect and honor to the very things which have come out of him from his internal potency. So it's a very, I found this to be a very, very beautiful concept. The Lord, you know, giving respect to his own creation. To his own creation. That's a very beautiful thing that we experience in this particular verse. So this is again our Vedic culture. In our Vedic culture, we offer respect. Krishna is showing us the way. We offer respect to trees. We worship trees. We worship mountains. Of course, we have Govardhan Puja. We worship everyone. Every living entity is a special creature for us, because every living entity has Paramatma in him, and therefore we offer our respects to everyone. No exceptions. His Grace Dwarkadish Prabhu, I think other day, spoke about offering respect to people. It's not that we offer respect only to parents, we offer respect to everyone. We read about Mrugari, you know, offering respect to ants. No? So, one who was so cruel, when his consciousness was enriched by Krishna Bhakti, he was offering respect even to ants. So this is the culture. So Krishna is telling us, you know, how to offer respect. So the splendor and the beauty of Vrindavan is actually his own. It is his own. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he said that yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shrimad urjitam eva. He says that everything beautiful, everything opulent that you see in this world is just a fragment of my splendor, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So here, whatever you are seeing, whatever beauty you are enjoying, was also a fragment of his splendor. But nevertheless, Krishna is offering respect. So he is showing us how to deal with not only the Lord, but how to deal with his creation. This is very, very important, how we deal, you know, with the creation of the Lord also. Not just what the Lord himself, but all his devotees, all his creation. Everything we show our respect. So with these few words, I would like to conclude my presentation. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Anybody has any comments or questions, please feel free to make them. श्रीमद् भागवत पुराणम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की